Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hey, what's happening? What's happening? How's everybody doing in East County, North County, online? Let's give all those people a hand. God bless y'all. God bless you. We got a big game today. We got some football action. How many of y'all do not care at all about the game today? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You're not all strung out like the rest of us, honey. How many of y'all are here at 8 o'clock only because of the game today? Amen. God bless you. There's the smart people in the room. God bless you. God bless you. I don't know what this 12 o'clock service is going to be like, but we're going to get it over quick because we got to get home and see the game. You know what I'm saying? Jesus loves you. Amen. Let's go. 3 weeks ago, we never thought we'd be in the playoffs, much less, on the verge of something big. So it's very exciting. Amen. I got a pastor friend of mine in Denver, and we have a bet. That against the game. He's at the game, so I told him he was a heathen for going. His name is Chris Hill. One day he'll be here. He'll just rock this place up. It's Potter's House, Denver. But we have a bet. Whoever loses got to buy the person dinner. We have no idea how we're going to make that happen. But I got someone tweet. We were doing it on Twitter, and someone said, "Oh, you guys are heathen. You're not supposed to bet." We're betting. it's going to be exciting, and it's going to be exciting. Hey, real quick, how many of y'all got the Miles a Minute app? How many of y'all got the Miles a Minute? Oh, very good, very good. How many of you have an Android and don't have it because you have an Android? Android's going to come out in a few weeks. Real quick, we've launched it just to you. Now we're going to everybody else. And so what we want you to do, and Darren said it, is to share 3 times a day. And here's the thing. It was not made for us. We spend thousands, and I'm going to film for 365 videos. I'm probably going to film 7,000 videos, literally. And I made it so you can have something to bless you and to be a tool to bless somebody else. And so every single day you watch a video, share it. In the top right-hand corner is a little button that says share. Hit it. It'll go to Facebook, Twitter, email, text, whatever you want to do it. I can't encourage you enough. We've had about 300,000 views that we know about, and there's some we don't know about. But for the people who have the iPhone, we've had 145,000 views of videos, but only 4,000 shares. Okay, that means people just watched it and left it to themselves. We don't want that to happen. That's like getting the gospel and keeping it to yourself. That's criminal. We want to share it. So just 3 times a day, just go boom, boom. That's all you got to do, boom, boom. It's easy. It takes 2 seconds to hit that share button. Okay? So we want you to share it. Amen? And then have someone download it. It's real simple. And then let it do its work. Amen? Amen. Let's get on our knees. Come on. We got a lot to talk about today. Let's get on our knees. Had a good run this morning. I'm all jacked up. How many of y'all exercised this morning already? Very good, very good. Y'all like exercise this morning. That's right. Before the sun comes up, baby. Bless you. Oh, bless you. Well, I got to go over here and pray. I'm over here. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for being good to us. And we pray you bless us. And I pray you challenge us to accept your call in our life. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Let's get up. Let's get up. Let's get up. Let's get up. My wife is like, you're going too fast. Let's see your Bibles. Very good. Second book of the Bible, Exodus chapter 3. Second book of the Bible, Exodus chapter 3. Second book, Exodus chapter 3. One day a little child was asked, "Why do you think your parents divorced?" And the little child said, "I must have done something wrong." One day a little child was asked, "Why do you think your parents beat you and abuse you?" "I must have done something wrong." "Why do you think someone molested you?" "I think I must have done something wrong." Little kids have a hard time separating what happens to them or what happens in their world from themselves. They think if something happened to them or something that impacts them, it must be because of something they did, because they have a hard time separating themselves from everything they experience. When you get saved, you become a little child. And you begin to think that everything that happens to you is because God is mad at you or he loves you. And sometimes God does stuff in your life that have nothing to do with you. In other words, God will call you to do something or call you to have a conversation or something will happen to you because there's something he's doing in someone else's life. And it's so much bigger than you. Today we're going to look at Moses, and Moses is going to be called to be one of the greatest leaders in the world, in the history of the world. And he's going to have all these excuses about why he can't do it. And the title of the message is, "It Ain't About You, Mo." If God is going to use you in all the ways that he wants to, you're going to have to realize it ain't about you. And you're going to have to trust God. There is going to be things he's going to do in your life, through your life. There's going to be things you experience that are going to be way above your head to understand, and you might not ever know. Maybe when you get to heaven. I don't even know if when you get to heaven you're going to know, because I think when you get to heaven, you're not going to care. But it doesn't have anything to do with you. There are going to be times when God's going to ask you to talk to somebody and do something. He's not even, well, I know God's always thinking about everything, but he's also mainly thinking about that person. And he just wants to use your mouth, your arms, your body, your heart, your eyes, your compassion, because he's thinking about somebody else. And so if you could be like a little child, well, what did I do? God must be mad at me. God's not blessing me. It's not about you. You're making it about you. It's about somebody else. It's about something much bigger than you. So in this story, Exodus chapter 3, there are 2 million plus Jews in slavery. Moses is 80 years old. He spent 40 years being raised in Pharaoh's house, 40 years as a shepherd. Now he's 80. I want to say 80. And his ministry is just getting ready to start. Every time I talk to people, I always like to ask people their age, no matter who they are, whether they're kids or old people. How old are you? And you hear people saying, "Oh, I'm 29. I'm like, "You still got your diapers on. Does your mother know where you are? Does your mother know you're out here?" They think they're so old. I ask people in their 20s, "You think you're old?" "Oh, I'm going to be 30. These socks are 30. Moses is 80. Why is that significant? Because God took 80 years to get him ready. Okay, let's read chapter 3, verse 1. Moses was tending flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire. Anytime you see angel of the Lord with a capital A, that's God. And it came in the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses says, "I will turn aside and see the great sight, why the bush does not burn." And when the Lord saw, everyone say, "The Lord saw." When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the fire and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." This is just a little quick side note. It really doesn't have anything to do with my message here. But God didn't talk to him until he saw Moses walking towards him. You know, you guys walk, when I say you guys, people walk past the glory of God every day. And they're not even paying attention. And that's why God's not talking to you. He wants you to come to him. There's sometimes God will speak to you and you're not getting it and he'll stop talking. So when he saw that Moses was interested, he said, "Okay, now I'm going to talk to you." And look what it says. It says, verse 5, "Therefore, do not draw near to the place. Take off your sandals off your feet, for I am God of the father. I am the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses hid his face, for he's afraid to look on God. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen," everyone say seen, "I have seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard," say heard. "I've heard their cry, and I know their sorrow," say no. "And so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up to a good land, a large land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, the Uptite, and Adicite." "Therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me," say cry. "And I have seen the oppression," say seen, "with which the Egyptians oppressed them." It is very important for you to understand that God hears cries. He sees oppression. He knows pain. And these cries are coming to God, and God is hearing the cries on the right, on his right, your left, and he's trying to get his people on the other side to go to them. Anytime God calls you to help somebody, it's because he's hearing cries from somebody. That right now, there are people in San Diego, people in Denver, people all over the country who are watching this, all over the world who are watching this, that are crying out to God, and he's wanting to know when, which one of his people can he send to go help. And so God is going to send people in response to a cry for help. And so he's sending, specifically in our context, some of y'all. So in it, what we're going to see is God's going to call Moses. He's going to have five excuses. I want to share those five excuses, more importantly, for God's five answers. Because God is calling you, some of you in here. At the end of the service, we're going to ask some of you to answer the call like Moses and stop giving him excuses and say, Lord, I'm ready for you to use me. For some of you, that means get saved. For some of you, means you're going to start a ministry. For some of you, means to get involved in a small group. For some of you, means to start reading your Bible every day. Some. But I got all these people who are crying out to me all day, every day, and I'm trying to get my people to go help them. Remember, it's not about you. Now, will you always be impacted? Yes, but it ain't about you. You are not necessarily the focus. There are people who are hurting worse than you. There are people who are struggling with stuff that you think you got problems. You think you got problems. I can't fathom what it likes to be a single mom with three kids living under the bridge here on the freeway. I don't understand what that means. I can't imagine walking the street with your kids, which is a reality. Being a stripper down the street from right where we sit here in Point Loma, being a stripper right down there and have kids go to school and have to go strip for money. I don't know what that's like. And have all those guys do all the stuff they do and say all the stuff they say and deal with that and try to have some positive self-image when all that nastiness is being spewed at you. I don't understand that. That lady's crying out to God. That's what we're talking about. So when you hear that Moses' excuses, hopefully you go, man, I don't want to be that guy because it ain't about me. Say it ain't about me. Look at the person next to you in every campus and wherever you're at, say, and if you're by yourself, look yourself in the mirror and say, it ain't about me. Very good, very good. Look what it says, verse 10, number one, five excuses, five answers. Number one, verse 10, it says, come now, I will send you to Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, to bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? The first excuse was he said he was insecure. And you have a lesson plan. It should say all that in there. You don't have to write it. You got it. He's insecure. Who am I? Everyone say, who am I? You're nobody. Say, I am nobody. You're not. And what I mean by that is that you are somebody because God made you somebody, and you are special because God made you special. But that's all you should focus on. Don't try to compare yourself to someone else. Don't say, well, you know what? I'm not important compared to Pharaoh. I'm just Moses. I'm a shepherd. I'm a murderer. Yes, he was a murderer. He killed somebody. I'm a fugitive. Yes, he was on the run for 40 years. I'm an orphan. Yes, he was adopted by Pharaoh's house, by Pharaoh. I'm a Jew, but I lived in an Egyptian culture. I was raised by the Egyptians. How am I going to go to Pharaoh and demand him to let go 2.5 million people? It's not about who you are. This is so critical. It's in your notes. It's not about who you are. It's about whose you are. Can we all just raise our hand and say, I am nobody? You are nobody in of yourself. You know, I went to the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Well, I didn't go there. I happened to be in L.A., and we stayed at a hotel on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And so I was walking down the street, and I'm looking at all these stars, and it's amazing how we elevate man by putting a star on the sidewalk, and then we walk on him. I mean, I was named after Miles Davis. I walked on Miles Davis' star by accident. I'm walking on my guy. That's my guy. Man will lift you up, put you down. The only reason you're somebody is because God said so. Because look what he says. Look what he says. It says, Moses says, who am I, verse 11, to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Verse 12, I will be with you. This shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve me on this mountain. He says, I will be with you. It's not about who you are in the eyes of man, because you're always going to be lower than somebody and above somebody in man's estimation of stature. You're always going to be more wealthy and poorer than somebody. You're always going to be smarter and dumber than somebody. That's an endless battle. You belong to God. It's not about who you are. It's about whose you are. That's what you got to focus on. When God says, I want to use you, you just say, I belong to God. That has to be good enough. But what about this? It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about God. You go with God. You and God form a majority. You got to get your eyes off you and get your eyes on God. Look what it says next. Verse 13. Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they say, what is your name? What shall I say? Basically, he says, who am I? Now he's saying, who are you? I mean, we don't know your name. This is the coolest name on the planet. God has the coolest of everything. Can I get amen? God makes the best stuff of everything. You know the best camera in the world is your eye? Maybe you don't realize that. Your eye is the best camera known to man. Man cannot improve on your eye. God has the best, makes the best everything, and he makes the best name. Look at his name. God said to Moses, I am that I am. That you don't even understand how he said, look. You walking through the store, little chicklet, you walking through the store, and some guy says, hey girl, what's your name? He said, oh, my name is Mary Betty Jo. Okay, what's your name? I am that I am. I always was, I am now, and I always will be. I didn't have a beginning, and I won't have an end. Now, understand this. In our world, and what we know to be reality, the universe, everything has a beginning. Everything has to be begun. Started. Nothing always was, because in what we know to be reality, there is always a beginning and an end. There is no such thing as a beginningless anything. Everything has to be started and sustained. In our reality, there's a conservation of energy. There's always the same amount of energy in the universe. And so if you think of our universe as a basketball, an ever-expanding basketball at the speed of light, the Bible says God stretches out the heavens, and science tells us that the universe is expanding at the speed of light. Why? Because science affirms what the Bible already tells us. If you think of everything in that basketball as what we know to be in reality, and everything inside that basketball, everything we know to be reality, has a beginning. It has certain rules that science tells us of how things exist. God gave us science so we can understand how things work. What's very important for us to understand is that God voluntarily in Jesus subjected him to those rules. But God exists outside the basketball where the rules are different. God had no beginning. Well, how could God have no beginning? He is not subject to our rules. He's in a whole different dimension. Our dimension is very limited to what's in that basketball. So when God says, I am that I am, I always was, because I don't exist by your rules. In other words, there's nothing you could do to make me better, nothing you could do to make me smaller, because I always was what I am, and I always will be what I am, which is infinitely perfect. And Moses is like, ah. He says, Moses, just go with that. I can't. Your brain is too limited for you to understand, but you will know better as we walk together and I show you my baboon power. I am that I am. So Moses says, who are you? Who am I? He says, you're nobody, Moses, but you'll be with me. Well, who are you? I am that I am. In other words, Moses, you are without me, nothing, dirt. You're a dirt bag. I made you out of dirt and I breathe in you. But with me, you are everything, but only because of me. You are everything because of me. Because it's not about you. It's about me. Because anything you have that's good, I made, gave it to you anyway. Moses is not done. Chapter 4. Moses says, well, suppose they won't believe me. Or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. The Lord said, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod, a stick. He said, cast it to the ground. So he cast it to the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses said, jump back. Hey, I don't know if y'all remember Richard Pryor back in the day. How many of y'all don't know Richard Pryor? He was doing a skit about walking through the desert and just walking through the thing and seeing a snake and going, snake like that. You had to be there. Moses jumped back. He said, ah, it's a snake. And the Lord said, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out and took it by the tail, and it became a rod. Moses said, he had the stick. He threw it down. And he jumped back. God said, grab the snake. He grabbed the snake by the tail, and it became a rod. Verse 6. Furthermore, he said, put your hand in your bosom, in your jacket. He put his hand in his bosom, and he took it out and was full of leprosy. He said, put your hand back in your bosom. And he put it real quick back in his bosom. And it came out, and it was healed. He said, Moses, I'm going to give you power. When God calls you to do something, he's going to give you power. Now, it's very important for you to understand the power he gives you, man does not have. I've been talking to you about supernatural miracles. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you should have power. Power to do what Jesus did. Some of you may not believe that. We're going to be talking about that starting in February. God's going to give you power. When people go, okay, I don't know about your God, but that was freaky. How did you do that? I didn't do it because it ain't about me. It's not about me. It's about him. We have a lady and her son. They started a ministry. I don't know if anyone else is in it, called the Mall Ministry. I know some of y'all ladies are like, I'm getting in that one. The Mall Ministry is where they go to, this is all I got in that long text message. They go to the mall and they pray for people at the kiosk. And they did it the other day and like 4 or 5 people got healed on the spot. Boom, 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 boom. One guy said, can we pray for you? He said, dude, if it makes you feel good, go ahead and pray for me. Pray for him. Boom, he got healed. He had a flu, one guy had a back problem. I can't remember all the things that got healed because I don't have it in my mind. One person had the flu, one person had a back problem, healed. Boom, 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 boom. How did you do that? We didn't, it's God. Now, some of you may not believe that's possible. You don't trust God. You don't believe the Bible. Because that's what it says, and we're going to talk about it. I'll show it to you in black and red. It's in the Bible. And so God said, Moses, it's not about you. It's about me. It's not about your ability. It's about my ability. God is calling you to do something, but it's about him. And if you can get your eyes off yourself like a little kid, if you can get your eyes off yourself and get your eyes on God, woo. But if you got to know all the answers, you have to explain everything to you, and you have to have everything lined up. God says, come back when you're ready to trust me. Come back when you're ready to trust me, because you think too much. Doesn't mean you're not supposed to think. Trust me. It doesn't mean you're not supposed to think, but it means you're supposed to trust. Your thinking won't get you there. You're going to have to, at some point, trust. The just shall walk by faith. I don't have faith. Yes, you do. Every time you inhale, you have faith because you've never seen oxygen. Every time you love somebody, you have faith because you take your heart and you trust them with your heart and you know. How many of y'all had a broken heart? Raise your hand if you ever had your heart broke. Yeah, you trusted somebody and it was the wrong somebody. It was an act of faith. God doesn't break hearts. He's faithful. Look at verse 10. First he said he was insecure, then he was ignorant. Who are you? Then he was incredible. I didn't have any credibility. And now he's going to focus on his inability. Verse 10, chapter 4, Moses said, oh Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither before nor since. Some people think he stuttered. He said, I can't speak. I am so slow of speak and slow of tongue. The Lord said, who made the man's mouth? Who made the mute, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I? Therefore, you go, and I will be with your mouth and tell you what you shall say. We always focus on, I'm not tall enough. I'm not black enough. I'm not white enough. I'm not Hispanic enough. I'm not Asian enough. I don't have a degree. I'm not fast enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not athletic enough. I'm not cool enough. I'm too cool. Whatever it is your issue, I'm too heavy. I'm too skinny. My hair's too straight. My hair's too kinky. You got straight hair, you try to straighten it. If you got straight hair, you try to kinky it. Then if you got kinky hair, you try to straighten it. No one's happy. No one's happy. God says, you know what? I made you the way I made you because I want to use you the way you are. Now, it doesn't mean you can't get in shape and lose weight. It doesn't mean you can't, you know, lift weights and gain. I'm not saying that. God, work with what God gave you. But God has not handicapped himself in you. When you are weak is when you are strong. God uses the weak to confound the strong, the ignorant to confound the wise. You have to say, Lord, I'm not tripping on my limitations because it's not about me. You are going to use me in spite of my limitations. By the way, you're going to be glorified in my limitations. You're going to look good. You are going to look good. You know, Russell Wilson is a quarterback for the Seahawks. Anybody a Seahawk fan in here? No. Russell Wilson's a good friend of mine. He's a Christian. He's about this tall. He's shorter than me. And when he came out of college, on our Miles a Minute page, we have about 5 or 7 athletes who have a very quick testimony that you can tweet out to share. And he's one of them saying, get the app. He's about this tall. Okay? When he came out of college, I said, you're too short. He got drafted in baseball and football. You're too short. He says, watch. Look at him now. He's this tall. Oh, no, you got to be this tall. Who says? Not God. And you know all the people who are this tall are now all fired up because they too can play in the NFL, possibly. You know, Drew Brees is about that tall. You know, Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football is about that tall. It's like, who says? God can use anybody to do whatever he chooses. And if God called you to do something, just trust him. Get over yourself and realize it's not about you. It's about him. I can't tell you how many people I would meet and I would introduce myself as the pastor of the Rock. And they would look at me literally and go, you're the pastor? Literally, they would say that. You? Like, what are you trying to say? And then people say, you know, whoever's with me, they'll say, did that bother you? I'm like, no. Absolutely, it's a compliment. Because obviously they don't think I'm whatever they thought was necessary. It's God. And I never even really get what they're, you know, they never start, whatever. And then people always want to talk in football analogies. Because they think that's all I know. Well, it's like a football team. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, football. I play football. That's all. Yeah, I play football. It is not about you. Last one. He was insubordinate. Insubordinate. God, I don't want to go. Verse 13, he said, oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever you may send. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know he can speak. And look, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God, and you shall take this rod in your hand, and with you, with which you shall do your the signs. God said to Moses, Moses, I want to use you. And Moses says, who am I? God said, nobody, it's about me. Who are you? I am everything. What if they don't believe me? He has supernatural power. I can't talk. I'm going to use you in spite of. I created you and designed you for such a time as this. Some of you look in the mirror and just don't think you're good enough. And the devil's telling you you're not good enough. And all you need to do is say, you know what? Without God, I'm not. But with God, I am. Because it's really all about him. And here's the last thing. God's going to send you people to be on your side. You have so many people here who want to pray for you, partner with you, team up with you. No one person could do all of this, what this church is, or any ministry. It's never one person. Moses ended up going and doing what God called him to do, and Moses ended up living another 40 years of leading the Israelites for 40 years through the wilderness. He finally said, okay, God. In a minute, we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to say, okay, God, I'm ready to be what you want me to be. For some of you, that means to get saved. For some of you, it means I'm going to really be a man of God. I'm going to be a woman of God. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to serve. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to do what you want me to do. And I'm going to ask you to come down in front of all the sanctuaries at our campus and say, here I am. Okay, God, I'm ready. Because some of you have been giving God all these excuses about why you won't be what he wants you to be. And God's like, I got answers for your excuses. It's not about you. Let me do my job. God is saying, let me be God and you be the servant. If we could get that right, everything's possible. So right now I'm going to ask all of you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord God, we thank you so much. We thank you so much that you love us. Thank you that our sufficiency is in you. Everything good about us comes from you. Even our natural talent we got from you. Our spiritual power comes from you. Our spiritual anointing comes from you. Our spiritual purpose comes from you. Our eternal purpose comes from you. It's all about you. And we get to be blessed in the process. There are some of you in all the campuses watching online, watching on your phone, watching at home in your computer. God has been calling you because he wants to use you. He wants more from you just than to be his child. He wants to use you. There's so many people he wants to help through your life. But you need to be obedient and you need to surrender to him. So if you're ready to be like Moses and stop giving the excuses, and you're ready to say to God, okay, God, I'll go. I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to be what you want me to be. And I bet you, I'm just going to bet, this is my opinion. My opinion doesn't mean anything. But I'm going to bet every single person in this room knows that God has been asking them something you haven't been doing. That's what I'm talking about. Whatever that is. It's time for you to say, God, no more excuses. This is not about me. If you're asking me to do it, you're going to provide the way for me to do it. And I'm going to trust you. I'm going to love my girlfriend right, my boyfriend right, my husband, my kids. Whatever it is. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you're ready to respond to the call of God in your life, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, no more excuses. No more excuses. I surrender my life to you, Jesus. I see the burning bush, and I'm walking towards it. Speak to me. Call me. I'm ready to follow you. It's not about me. I trust you. Whatever that is, I trust you. Eyes closed, heads bowed. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand if you prayed that prayer. I'm going to ask you to stand if today's your day that you stop giving excuses to God and, like Moses, finally obey him. Eyes closed, heads bowed on whatever campus you're in. I'm going to ask you right now, if you prayed that prayer and you're saying, yes, Lord, I am ready, stand to your feet and acknowledge your surrender. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. 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 Very good. God bless you. God bless you.